Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again!
Again!
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, frankly, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Play Testy. It is episode 175. We're on to February. That means baseball is being played in some form this month. Pitchers and catchers will like throw the ball to each other, and you'll see lots of pictures of it on Twitter. It's the best, sort of. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe, rate 5 stars. We really appreciate when you guys do that. And as always, you can find us on YouTube on the WEEI channel. Subscribe to WEEI. Hit the thumbs up on all of our videos. Find us on the socials at PlayTessie on both Twitter and Instagram. So I'm here with Sammy, and I'm here with Pat. We got the normal crew here, and our last podcast had quite the interesting response, to say the least. We had Joe, our producer Joe Braverman. He submitted a Who Says No on the last podcast, and yeah, the responses were, they were harsh.
I'm going to cut you off. You said our last podcast. I was not in attendance for that massacre of a Who Says No. Let's put that out there now. Do not say ours. You say me, Sammy, and Joe. Your names are on that. So shut up with the us and
all
ours.
Right, all right. All right. Joe, come in here. Joe Brave. Here he
Hi,
is.
Hi, guys.
Oh, my God. Hello. Look how Legend. Guilty he looks.
We love Joe.
Okay. Joe, I want to give you the chance here. I think people have been waiting for an official comment from you in response to the trade proposal, which to back it up, if you're living under a rock, the trade proposal was the Red Sox receive Bo Bichette and the Blue Jays receive Willier Abreu, Cutter Crawford, Yoelin Cespedes, and Vaughn Grissom. Joe, the responses were harsh. They were mean. They were almost unanimously, the Red Sox would never do it. And I'm just curious, like, are you backing off of this trade? Like, what is your response to all of the hate that you've received? And have you ever gotten anything like this online before?
No, this is not that I haven't received any kind of hate. The way I have gotten, the responses I saw on Twitter and on Instagram were insane. Now, as far as the trade, I'll tell you exactly my perspective on this. I was looking at it from the Toronto side of things, thinking, what would they command for a guy like Bo Bichette, who is arguably a top three guy in that system? So, what I was thinking was that Toronto would be asking for a huge package that would assume that they are still in contention, even though all 29 other teams and every other fan base sees that they are nowhere close to being a contender. So that was my mindset on that. I know that they want to straddle that line right there in the middle. So
listen, Joe, I'm going to cut you off for a second, because like, just speaking for the people, there's no defending the trade. It wasn't a good trade. All right. Like, and from my perspective on the show, and Sammy, I want you to to speak for this too. And like, first off, like you can hear Joe here, like this was not like clickbait. Like we got a lot of accusations of putting clickbait out there or like engagement. No, this literally was not that.
This was an idea. This was an idea from me. And I knew I did not want to be a homer. I did not want to be a homer.
That's the key. I get a lot of, when we do the Who Says No, I get a lot of people who will respond and be like, of course the Red Sox would do this. It makes no sense for the other team. And then they're like, throw in Franklin Arias as if that's like a small piece. And then like, maybe Vaughn as well. And I get it. You don't want to be a homer, but these are hard, man. These are hard to come up with. And Bradfoe and I spoke about it on Baseballs and Boring recently. He was like, anyone who thinks they can just jump in and do a Who Says No, please. Let's see
it. It's not easy.
See it. It's not easy. We put a lot of work into these. These are not just like, you know, once in a while we'll have one come up off the top of our heads and we'll be like, okay, that actually might work. But most of the time I do a pretty good amount of research before we put these out. And I know the comments are going to be like, maybe do better research because your trade sucks, Sammy. You're an idiot too. You're all idiots. We're not always going to agree on everything. Some of these are hits. Some of these are misses. We were just talking before the show last year. I had the Red Sox trading their number three prospect and a guy who was slated to be in the bullpen for Jesus Luzardo. Those two players are Roman Anthony and Tanner Houck. You see how things change. So, you know, some of these age poorly, some sound bad in the moment, and they age beautifully. Bottom line, these aren't easy to make.
So I want to give my perspective on this because I was not here when this happened, okay? So it is... what, Friday morning, I'm at work, get the notification on my watch. I see, again, it's not clear. It's on my watch. Oh, Who Says No graphic, whatever. The amount, so I didn't even see the trade. I am getting notifications of the replies. And what I want to do is read some of these out loud and just see Joe's face. I have picked some great ones.
Now, I will tell you, I have probably seen a lot of them. Wait, I haven't read every
Pat
single
starts.
One.
Joe, do you have notifications on? Were you seeing every single...
Oh, why would you do that? Well, I wasn't... Here's the thing. I wasn't seeing every single one, just the ones that I happened to get a notification because they literally were coming one after another. I didn't see every single it's one, so but I probably the ones that you read, I'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Oh, all right.
But please, indulge me. I'd like to hear them again.
Off. Here we go. I'm going to save the absolute heaters for last. All right, here we go. Joe sucks. Ignore the positive comments with a praying emoji. should make him
Pat,
walk the
read,
plank.
Read who they're from, okay, or the first yes, name. Read the yes. first name.
So this is from a guy named Ricey. Joe sucks. The one that said ignore the positive comments, I just remembered. I don't know who tweeted it, so if it was you, shout out you. This is from Noah. Should make him walk the plank for even considering this trade. This is from Aaron. What?
Joe's just like, bring sincere- it.
What?
And Joe, I sincerely- Joe's just sitting there like, keep him coming. Keep him coming.
What? And I sincerely mean this. The fuck is this shit? For a single year of Bo? Laughable. This is from my man, Dan. I listened today. You guys were nice in this. I nearly fainted. Joe should be tarred and feathered for this bullshit. That's from Brendan. And then personally, my favorite, this is from Dylan. I think the person suggesting this should be boiled.
That's the best one. The boiled. Joe, do you care to comment on the guy who said that you should be boiled?
You know what? There have been a lot of things that I probably should be boiled for, but this trade is not one of them. It's not. I'm sorry. I'm here to say that this is a trade.
Don't apologize for nothing, and Joe.
I'm here to say that Bo Bichette should be a trade target for the Red Sox. Could you modify
like that
also? Absolutely. But if we're going on this line of Alex Bregman's nowhere to be found, they still have this faith in Meyer and Campbell, all of that. Who else is out there? Like, all the free agent bats suck. So if you're going to make a trade and you get a reasonable offer, you make the deal for Bichette. Who cares if it's 1 year?
I agree. I like Bichette as a target. It's not the target. It's just the return going back to Toronto. I don't mind Bo Bichette, like buy low on Bo Bichette. Maybe he like mid-season takes an extension. It's just for that price, I wouldn't do it. But I don't hate the idea of looking at Bo Bichette. I just think now that the Blue Jays have added these guys, I feel like they're going to be like, no, we're going to contend. And I think they'll be okay in 2025, but come on.
I want to go back here because one of the tweets, I think it was from Dan, said something about like you guys were nice on the pod. And Sammy, I'm curious because like I obviously Joe came up with the proposal, but like this, like all the response, like this is not like it's not on Joe. It's on, I won't put it on Pat. Pat wasn't here, but it is on the three of us. And like, I just want to like go through what my mindset was during the pod, which was like, so Joe lists the trade off there and he finishes like listing all the players. And in my head, I say, okay, like, I don't want to like crush, like Joe, this is Joe's first trade proposal of the winter. Like I think what you made one at the deadline. Yeah. So
Taylor Rogers.
First trade. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, so, good one too.
Yeah. First trade.
Yeah,
proposal.
I made a proposal like that. And no one yelled at me.
You're batting 500, dude. You're an all-star. 500.
Listen, basically what I'm trying to get at here is Joe has had a trade proposal for a while. And like, it's not easy. Like Sammy said it at the beginning, he talked about it with Bravo. It is not easy to come up with this, with these things. And my mindset was, I don't want to act like I would make the trade if I'm the Red Sox, but I don't want to be a dick. Like there's a way to say that you wouldn't do it without being a dick. But to be honest with you, Joe, I think like maybe Sammy and I did you a disservice here because like what we probably should have done is either A, like heard the trade offer and said, this is way too much, like maybe something like this. And we could have reworked it and then posted a trade graphic of a trade that made a little bit more sense. Or we could have heard the proposal and kind of stopped you and just restarted the podcast with something a little bit more in line. But like in the moment, it's like, you hear the proposal and you just kind of roll with the podcast because that's the podcast that you're having. Like it's like there's never been a scenario before where like we've workshopped trades mid podcast. I've had one of my trades workshopped mid podcast. I think it was earlier this offseason. But yeah, we post the trade graphic, and after a while of the responses, Joe sends a text into the group chat and he asks, like, literally honestly, like he wants our honest opinions, like, does the trade actually suck as much as these people are saying it sucks? Joe, I shot it straight with you, man.
Yeah,
I said
I appreciate your honesty, Gordo. Yeah. That's what people love about you. Honestly,
I didn't answer.
But I should have told you that on the like. I think I said I wouldn't trade Willier for any rental in baseball on the podcast. But I literally should have just said that. Like, I don't think I would trade because I texted in the group chat is that I wouldn't have traded any of the four guys that Joe proposed.
Would you consider
alone?
Would you consider Vaughn Grissom for a rental?
Yes.
Bo Bichette? I would
yes.
think about.
Yeah.
it. I would think
yes.
about that.
That was
yeah.
the only one though. That was the only one. But like. Like this, like it could have been handled on the podcast, and I feel like we did him a disservice by not doing it. Sammy, do you agree with that? Do you think we did Joe a disservice by not
I think we definitely did. We could have been a little bit more firm and just jumped in. By the way, I think I'm pretty sure like a day after we recorded, Yoel and Cespedes was on like Baseball America's top 100. I remember being like, oh, fuck. I was like, that's gonna make the trade look worse. But it was literally like right after we recorded. But yes, I do think maybe we let Joe down a little bit here. And Joe's been obviously like the MVP with all the clips and everything and editing every episode. So our bad, Joe. We should have jumped in.
Look, this was me trying to help out the team. Pat was obviously out. You guys have been doing the work with the Who Says No. So this was me trying to come up with a good idea. Obviously, for some people, it was not a good idea. But for me, it was a good idea at the time.
I have a take. I think we should blame Pat for not being there.
It's literally just
fault.
About to say that.
That's a good way of thinking about it.
If you think about it, it's more so Pat's fault than anything. So
this all could have been avoided if Pat had just fucking showed up.
It's Pat's fault. All right,
it's
we all
Pat's
agree.
Fault.
Pat, you agree
Pat,
too?
Glad we got that conclusion.
No. What I will say, though, is that for those out there who think that Joe should be boiled, should have to walk the plank, there is a sweet little kind of cherry on top in that when this social clip comes out of us talking about this and talking about all of the mean tweets, there are four of us here. Only one person here knows how to edit social clips, and it is Joe. So he will be making his own kind of roast social clip, which will be great because all of Joe's social clips are great.
This is going to be true. So good for the Joe Braverman brand at the end of the day. Like, this is going to be like just you not being all pouty. And because like the trade I talked about, the one with Roman Anthony and Tanner Houck to Miami, I was such a like weenie about that for so long. I was like, well, whatever. How was I supposed to know? Nowadays, I'm like, all right, whatever. But yeah, you did a much better job handling this than I would have like a year or two ago.
And for all that complain, I just have two things real quick. One, or three things I just say. One, I dare anyone else listening come up with a better proposal. Two, I am right now poolside in Miami, so life is good. And
no,
three,
Joe.
And three.
They hate the pool.
And
people
three,
hated the poolside thing. You said
dude,
that
one
people,
guy got mad.
Hated that.
I like the poolside thing. I thought that was funny. I read that as like tongue-in-cheek, like Joe, like, you know what? I'm in Miami. See ya. One guy, well, there was
damn
some
right.
comment. The guy was like,
people,
apparently
people got
he's
mad.
In my. There was a comment, and the guy was like, oh, he's in Miami, apparently. And I'm like, should Joe not have gone to Miami because you didn't like his trade? You fucking weirdo. The guy who's all mad. He's like, oh, he's in Miami. Okay. Like, all right, dork.
And then the third thing is this was not the worst trade of the week. I could have been the Mavericks GM and trade away Luka Doncic. Oh.
So wow, yeah. That was
That's
actually
a real
my,
trade.
That was my question. Are you currently moonlighting as the GM of the Mavericks?
Dude. No, because, I am not because I actually would have not made the trade.
Yeah, that's an insane trade.
The other thing is, we got a reply this morning and to the Who Says No, and it said everybody except the Dallas Mavericks.
Can I read two more tweets that I found that I thought were really funny?
Please do. Please do.
One of them responded, so Joe is never coming back, right? That's from Costas Defender.
Oh no, no. Joe's doing another Who Says No at some point. We wait for the trade deadline return.
Yeah.
Joe
this is not the last you'll hear of me.
So Joe is on trial right now, and we need to submit a verdict at some point. Are we suspending his microphone? Are we suspending Who Says No proposals?
I barely get on the episode anyway. Not a suspension. What kind of verdict can you give me that I don't already have?
How long until Joe is allowed to submit a who? Well, first of all, Joe, will you take on the challenge in the future of a Who Says No?
Yes, I will.
How long are we suspending him from Who Says No's?
4 months. Trade deadline.
Joe. Oh, the Who Says No Joe Braverman trade proposal at the deadline is going to hit like crack, which actually brings me to my next tweet. This comes from Tim. Put down the poolside fentanyl, my man.
I got one more tweet, and this might be the most damning of all. From Red Sox payroll, Twitter has a lot of trade proposals. I can safely say this is the single worst one I've ever seen.
No, I've seen worse. I saw worse ones this winter, actually, for Vlad. I made a comment saying I would offer Willier Abreu, maybe, and like a low-level prospect for Vlad. And obviously that sounds crazy, but then you think Willier's got 4 years, Vlad is on an expiring contract. Okay, it makes sense. And the prospect. The responses I got were like, Vlad is going to cost Casas, Meyer, and Willier, and then maybe prospects. Like, you're an idiot. I'm like, he's on an expiring deal. He's a free agent a year from now. What are we talking about? And the people were just like, yeah, but you trade for him as if you're going to extend him. I'm like, what?
That's not how it works.
You're paying extra because you're going to do something after? So no, I don't think yours is the worst I've seen, because also those were not gigantic pieces you're talking about moving. The people commenting on the trade I was proposing were saying Meyer, Casas, and Abreu. Your biggest piece was probably Abreu. So no, not the worst one I've seen. Red Sox payroll. Great account, by the way. I appreciate what they do.
So our final verdict here. So Joe is suspended from Who Says No for 4 months. We'll give him. Do we want to suspend his microphone, or is that? Or should we just like suspend his microphone for a day so it's like a joke suspension and he's not actually suspended? I just think it'd be funny.
No, I think 4 months on the back burner, sitting in the corner facing the wall in a timeout, let him reflect on what he's done.
Joe, your Who Says No proposal episode in July is going to be one of the most highly anticipated Play Tessie episodes of all time. And I cannot wait. But what I will say to you, Joe, you have been an absolute trooper. It takes a one-of-a-kind individual to take a situation like this and own it and laugh about it and take it on the – what is it? Take it on the what? Take it on the chest?
Take it on the chin.
Chin.
Take it on the chin.
Take it on the chest?
Jeez. Yeah, everyone now can pivot from me into Gordo's lack of self-awareness for pretty easy statement.
Gordo, it's because when you punch someone, you aim for their chin.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah, what's going on the chest?
Yeah, what would be going on the chest?
I don't know, man. I'm not going to say that. Not going to do it.
Well, I mean, you did say it. You said, take it on the chest. Like, what are you talking about? Because if it's an insult or something like that, with Joe just said, he took it on the chin. But anyway... good job,
no,
Joe.
I just think Joe's a trooper.
Took it on the chest like a man.
He took it on the chest like a man does.
I will take him on the chest for all you guys.
All right, Joe.
Jesus.
We're pivoting off. We're trying to get. This is what I'm doing. I'm trying to move the direction off of the most recent thing. My Who Says No got off the idea of Tyler O'Neill's hole.
Oh, God.
Good Lord.
I wasn't there for that one. So it's my fault that Tyler O'Neill's whole...
Really, the one constant is me. So maybe I should just...
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. It's me. But Joe, props to you, Joe. Not everyone would be able to laugh about it like that. What did we get? How many comments on the original post? And I know like...
Oh,
like
it's got to be 200.
It's more.
Look, everyone gets a hit at that first at bat. Okay? Not everyone gets the hit. Only
it was close
like Daniel
to 300.
Nava and Lou Maloney get the home run.
We're gonna make a big thing of it at the trade deadline when you make your return.
Yeah, I think the original post had Pat. Are you on it right now?
Yep, it's 277 replies. That tweet had 241,000 views.
And not to mention like there's like some people that quote like I know Ed Hand quote tweeted it. And Ed Hand might be the biggest Joe Braverman fan on the planet, but even he kind of ripped you a new one in his quote tweet, and he got a bunch of comments in there too. And so, like, he had 50 early on in there. So I don't know where it's at now, but you took it on. What I'm just trying to give you credit here. You took it on the chin, and like not everyone would. There's a lot of people
and
that would
chest.
Take and the chest, but a lot of people would take it very personally. And I commend you for not doing that because there's two ways to go about this, and you went about it the right way. So good job, Joe.
Hey, I have seen much worse targeted at others. So, hey, like I said, you don't always get that first hit. So I took the effort. I made the proposal. And did everyone enjoy it? No, but I get the A for effort. At least I'm giving it a man.
You get the A for effort.
Content. We've turned it into a good thing.
And if everyone hates this, like Gordo said, I'll just edit it for our social clip to make me look good.
Good. That's how you do it, Joe. Joe Braverman, everybody. Good work. Hey, big round of applause for Joe Braverman. Seriously, what a trooper. The other thing that came out of this that I wanted to get into, though, I wanted to make sure that we got into this on the podcast, and I think it might have been in response to one of Joe's comments, or maybe it was just, I don't know, someone, and it was, there's been a few people who've said this to me, to the podcast, and they say that we've been a little bit negative and whiny this off season.
Oh, there's so much to be excited about, though. It's true.
No, okay. Well, do you think it's justified? And whether or not you think it's justified, do you think we need to be like a little bit more positive about where the team stands?
Let me answer your question with a question. If you're in a lovely relationship for a long time, it's a great relationship. You're both very happy. But then your partner one night just like starts punching you in the head. You're like, hey, don't do that. And you're like, oh, okay, sorry. And then every night they just like punch you one time in the head. And you're like, can you stop punching me in the head? If your partner was like, hey, we used to have such a great relationship. You can't complain. What would you say? You'd say, please stop punching me in the head. That's what the Red Sox are doing to the fans. We used to have a great relationship with them, but now every night before we go to bed, they punch us directly in the head. And give
but
us
Sammy, I'm going to play devil's advocate here because, and I'm going to do it with the caveat of I don't think that we're I think we are justified in a lot of the whining and bitching that we've done, particularly about the right-handed bat, about Alex Bregman, etc. But that said, like, do you think the team is going to win more games than they did last year?
Yeah, I think they'll be like, yes. I think they might make the playoffs, like 85 right. win team. But
they got an ace. And Sammy, for you in particular, they got your white whale.
Yep, so they got my white whale. It's awesome. But the thing I want to see is I want to see the Red Sox win the World Series. And they're not really in a position to do that. They're in a position to maybe make the playoffs right now. They have glaring needs. They talked a big game. And they haven't come through. And this is burying the lead. They have sucked for 5 of the last 6 years. So, no, I don't think we're being too whiny. We don't want to go into the season again being like, maybe if everything breaks right, we could have another 2021 season. Maybe. That's not a good place to be. I want it to feel like 2019. That season didn't turn out great. But going into that season, we were like, this team, a bunch of killers. Everywhere on the field, we feel great about. We like the friggin' depth on pitching. We like the defense. We like the hitting. Everything was great. That's what we want. It doesn't need to be perfect. We just want to have a team that we feel great about, not one where we can quickly point to, oh, they lack right-handed bats that hit left-handed pitching. The catching situation is not great. The bullpen, it's okay, but it definitely took a step back. Like, who's the closer? There's so many things we can point to, and I don't think we should just ignore them because in 2018, they were really good. That makes no sense to me. And that was, you know, the crux of the comment was like, they say like we're like Rockies fans. Like we sound like this is what Rockies fans should sound like. Like Red Sox fans should be complaining like this. So to me, that means it used to be good, but now it's not. But you can't complain about the present because it's not good because it was good in the past. It just makes no sense to think like that. It's like the relationship that used to be good, but now you get punched in the head every night before you go to bed and you have a headache and it sucks.
And it's also like if the person in the relationship is making all these promises of like, hey, I'm going to like buy you flowers every single night and I'm going to take you on incredible vacations and we're going to have these expensive dinners and all this great stuff. And then like, yeah, like maybe they've delivered on like one of the things, but like they've continued to like also like break every other promise they make. Like I maintain that if they made more in check promises, then we're going to consider going over the luxury tax and win 95 games only to enter the season projected at, you know, 84.5 wins. Like, yeah, people's response would be better, but this is all with the caveat of like, hey, we're at the start of February. About a month from now, we're going to see these guys in spring training games and we're going to sell ourselves on this being, and like we're already admitting right now that we think this could be a playoff team. But like by the time these guys are at spring training and like the vibe trophies are handed out, like, yeah, we're going to be all in on this team. Like the vibes are going to be higher. We're going to be excited. But yeah, it's the dead of winter. So like naturally, if the team is not fulfilling their promises, yeah, we're going to be negative when we see not going to say open holes, but there's open holes on this team.
Jeez.
Pat, do you think that we're do you think we've been too negative on this show?
No, I don't, because I think it's going to be one of two things, right? It's either you're negative, complaining, etc., or for the opposite, and we're just so damn grateful for everything that we have. We're kissing up to ownership, and it's like it's a two-sided coin. There's no real middle ground. No, it's not like we have no reason, you know, Sam and Craig, 95 wins over the threshold, winning the division. And then they do like nothing to actually implement those words. Yeah, we should be pissed. And if we weren't pissed, the other side of the crowd would say they're kissing up to ownership. They know these guys, so they're not harsh on them. Like, you know what I mean? There's no middle ground. And I think we're perfectly fine where we're at in terms of whining.
And you know what, come spring training, like if you want a more positive podcast, like we'll get there. Come April, like if this team starts winning games, like that's the thing. Like, don't you remember when the Red Sox won that series against the Royals right before the All-Star break last year? Sox were in the playoffs and like we were thrilled. We were positive as hell. We didn't, like, we never talked about full
throttle. We got comments from people back then saying, slow down, like, chill out, guys. You're like, hyping up the team. I remember that, vividly remember that, being like, oh, it's the first time I'm happy about the Red Sox in, like, 2 years, and I have this guy, but then I laughed it off. But, yeah, man, I think we're calling it how we see it. That's, I think, one of our best qualities is we don't change what we're going to say because we think viewers might want to hear it. We are going to tell you how we actually feel about the Red Sox because that's why people are tuning in. It's just, I'm not here to lie to anyone and pretend that everything is great when I'm getting punched in the head every night before bed by the Boston Red Sox. By the way, yeah. Last comment to that person who left that comment. Thank you for listening.
And again, though, like, it's not even just that person. Like, I've heard this. I've gotten this tweeted at me several times. I think most of them are just like at me and like saying that I've been too negative. And I'll get people say that I'm too positive at times, too. Like, that's just kind of the way of the world of being a Red Sox online personality. You know, like, when things go well, like, we're happy. If the Red Sox are in first place in April, we're not going to talk about how they left the right-handed bat unattended. Like, they didn't. They left a spot in the lineup open. If Roman Anthony and Christian Campbell come up and are great, and Vaughn Grissom has a really good season, and Connor Wong has a renaissance season and is really good defensively, like, guess what? We're not going to be talking about how these things are needs. We're just going to be enjoying what's in front of us. But right now, in early February, like, yeah, like, we're gonna complain about the things that we see on the roster that are very fixable, as the team has a considerably lower payroll than they had during the season last year. Like, they are, what are they, like, 20 million or so below where they were last year?
Something like that. Also, Gordo, another thing, we talk about the payroll. I think we're all in the same boat that if the Red Sox aren't over the luxury tax and all the prospects are panning out right before our eyes and the team is winning games, we're not going to care about the money situation. We just want to see a winning team. The reason we talk about the money, and listen to this, when you spend a lot of money, it makes winning easier. The 2024 World Series, if you missed that, was the Yankees and the Dodgers. So, Pat, are you following?
Pat, were you about to say that spending money doesn't make winning easier?
No. I kind of had a clarifying question. You're telling me that if the team spends money to get good baseball players on their team,
yes,
typically they do better?
Yeah, so good players do the things on a baseball field that lead to winning games. And to get those good players, a lot of the time, not all the time, but a lot of the time, you have to give them money because it's their job to play baseball. Therefore, they require compensation in the form of USD American dollars. So when I say I'd like the Red Sox to be better, spending money is probably the easiest, most direct way to make that happen. Does that make sense, Pat?
Hmm.
Can I ask you guys a question here? Because this is another one that I've gotten, and I actually don't even quite know what the comment is. So, like, I'm just, it's like more like a slew of comments all kind of implying the same thing. What is your guys' ceiling of, like, if Alex Bregman got that contract, you wouldn't be upset that the Red Sox didn't do it? Like, what's your ceiling for what you'd want the most expensive contract? Because, like, a lot of these shows, it's kind of us blindly calling for the Red Sox to sign Alex Bregman, where there's a good chance that he's asking for a figure that we actually wouldn't want the team to give him. Like, we're not just, like, blind sign Alex Bregman at all costs. I shouldn't speak for you guys, but me personally, I'm not a blind sign Alex Bregman at all costs guy. I don't think you guys are either, but there is a ceiling to this. Like, we think that he can be had for less than that ceiling, which is why I think we're all so adamant. But what is the ceiling? Just let's put it out there now so that if he signs for less than that ceiling and we get upset about it, we can put the money where our mouth is and say, yeah, like, we would have done that deal. And if he signs for more than that ceiling and we say, yeah, God, I wouldn't have done that, then people can't accuse us of just coping because the Red Sox didn't get him. What is the ceiling?
Yeah. Well, that's a tough question because, you know, you need nuance for that. Like, there's a lot of options and stuff that could be in the contract, deferred money, but
screw it. In a
vacuum. If Alex Bregman signs elsewhere for 5 years, I don't really care what the money looks like. I'm going to be pretty annoyed. Because I feel like no matter what the money is, the Red Sox could have put together a competitive offer at that amount and had a good chance to get him. If he signs for 6 years, then I'm thinking about, like, okay, how much money is that? If it's 6 years at, like, $28 million a year, I won't be upset about the Red Sox not matching that.
What does that get to total value? Hold on, I'll do the math.
178. It's 178.
Yeah, that's a lot. At that point, I'm like, okay,
168.
That's the kind of contract where my reaction would be, yeah, 6 for 28, 168. If he signs elsewhere for that amount, I'll be a little annoyed, like, oh, god damn it. Like, you could have done that and it wouldn't have hurt you that badly, but I get it. If he signs for 7 years, I'm not interested. 7 years is so long. That is such a long contract. He would be 38 years old by the end of it. That I'd be like, all right, I get it. That would be like a Xander Bogaerts situation. You know, obviously without the nuance of like, you could have locked them up earlier, blah, blah, blah. That would be understandable. And then anything beyond 7 years, like, you're insane to give 90% of players anything beyond that. So, it's more so the years than the money that would bother me.
I certainly agree with that. I think my borderline, because like there's like a gray area where it's like, okay, like I'm like, I wish, like, I guess I wish that we paid it, but I'm not super upset that that money's not on the books. Like in the 160 to 180 range, that's kind of where that gray area is. Anything above 180, like, peace, like, enjoy your time. Like, enjoy the player, whoever gets him. Like, over 180, I'm out. Anything between 160 and 180, it's like, okay, that's like a hefty price. I probably would have paid it, and like, I'm upset that he's not here, but it's like, at the same time, it's not like he signed for chump change and the Red Sox didn't do it. Anything 5 years or anything under 160, that's something that the Red Sox should do. Pat, where's your borderline?
I think I would have to go 6 years, 172, and that's with a caveat of it being either front-loaded or having deferred money. That's kind of where I'm at. I think 172, I don't know what the breakdown on that is, but it's got to be like 28 and a half-ish. And like I said, it has to be front-loaded, so he's making the most money when he's still a good player. Or it would be deferred money, so he's not counting toward the luxury tax as much. Anything over that, though, like that low 170, high 160, I wouldn't want him.
Yeah. And by the way, like, I don't know where you guys stand on this. Like, I said it on the radio this weekend that I think my Alex Bregman odds are under 2%. So, like, this is not, like, we're not having this conversation because we've been having a lot of Alex Bregman conversations, and a lot of that is because of the possibility that he ends up on the Red Sox. I don't think this conversation is because we think that he's going to potentially end up on the Red Sox. This conversation is more so directed at he's probably going to sign elsewhere, and I just want these numbers to be out into the universe so that if we're upset, we had the numbers out there that yes, we are allowed to be upset because we said we would have paid more, and if we're not upset, people can't accuse us of coping. What are your guys' percent chances? I'm under 2%.
I'm at like five, and I'm only at five because there's so few teams that seem to be in on Bregman. If there were more teams, I'd probably be at like two with you. But just the fact that it's what, Red Sox, Tigers, it seems to really not want to go to the Tigers. They're like, please, and he's not doing it. Astros, yeah. Allegedly, their offer's still out there. I don't know, Gordo, if there's been an update on that. It sounds like, I feel like nobody knows anything. I know Chandler Rome said it was out there, but then there are other people saying it's not. Regardless, Red Sox, Astros, Blue Jays, maybe, Mets, maybe. I don't know. Just doesn't feel like
Cubs,
there's that many teams.
Tigers and Cubs.
Cubs, yeah, Cubs. Yeah, my point being.
So Sammy's at five. Sammy's at five. I'm at two. Pat, what are you at?
I think he ends up back in Houston.
Me too.
And I think just in terms of what the offers probably are, I'd probably go Houston, Toronto, Detroit, and then Boston. Yeah, I'm probably about like 5%, and that might be generous.
Yeah, so like again, we're not having the conversation because we think he's coming here. We're basically laying out our basis for the public because we've been taking our lumps, and I just want to make sure that when people try to give us our lumps later, we have the receipts. We can pull these receipts. Joe Braverman can pull these damn receipts.
Question for you guys, though, on the Bregman front. If they don't get Bregman, but both Campbell and Roman break camp, how do you feel?
I feel like they don't have enough depth. Like, I feel like they're very reliant on kids to do things they've never done. Like, if that's how they go, you're relying on two kids to perform at the big league level when they never have, and you're relying on Trevor Story to hit at the big league level as your power right-handed bat when he has not done that in years. You're relying on Tristan Casas to be healthy and to produce, which I think there's a good bet. But those are four uncertain things there that you kind of need to all go right, especially when you haven't done anything to like legitimately upgrade the defense, which, again, like their infield defense was the worst in the game last year. Errors, I said the stat on the radio. They had the second most errors in baseball last year as a team. Obviously, most of those with the infield. They had the third most strikeouts last year. They had the second most blown saves last year. So their bullpen, their back of the bullpen has not gotten better. I think their bullpen depth, you could make the argument, has gotten better. But I think they add someone. But their defense hasn't gotten better. Their propensity to not strike out has only gotten better by subtraction of one of your best hitters. So it's like, yeah, maybe they might be better in that area, but like you now have significantly less home run power. So yeah, the short is I think you'd be relying on a lot of uncertainties, things that haven't happened before, and it'd be just like years past where you need every single thing to go right, just like you've needed for each of the last 5 years where it only has worked one time in 2021.
Gordo, I agree with everything you said. It would be just like years past, but what it would not be like is way back when they were actually winning with the World Series consistently. They never did this to their young guys. When Devers came up, he was hitting sixth and seventh. He was not middle of the order right off the rip. This is why you got to sign veterans like Alex Bregman to put them around, not only to put them around Devers and Casas, but to take pressure off of these young kids, Christian Campbell, Roman Anthony. I think both those guys are going to be studs. Roman Anthony, especially, he could be a perennial all-star, and Christian Campbell could be too. But it takes time. Not everyone's going to be Jackson Churio right off the bat. So, yeah, it's a lot of pressure on these kids. They haven't done this before, like you said, Gordo. And it's also just so not the winning formula that the Red Sox have used. And there was never any sign of that winning formula not working anymore. They did the peaks and troughs strategy perfectly, led to four titles in 20 years. And it's just like they've abandoned it. So, to answer Pat's question, I would be excited to watch the young guys, but I wouldn't feel great about the situation they've been put in.
That's a good way to put it. And by the way, Sammy, stop whining. All right.
Sorry. Stop it. I would be so stop happy. It. I think Roman Anthony will win the MVP as a rookie.
They are going to be studs, but again, they're rookies. You were right, Sammy. And even you said he's not going to be even Jackson Churio wasn't Jackson Churio for 2 months.
Yeah, so he started off cold too. Everyone was making fun of the Brewers. He extended him. He sucks. Then he went off. But
Pat, what about you? How would you feel there?
I mean, in terms of excitement level, I'd be super excited because you have two top 10 prospects breaking camp. I think, like you guys said, I think they're both going to be like legit MLB players. I think Campbell is going to be like an above average player. I truly think Roman is going to be a superstar. But in terms of, 2025, I don't think my confidence in the team being good alters all that much if they break camp. I'm a little bit more excited to watch them, sure. But no, I agree. They don't have that veteran presence. They don't have the right-handed bat in the middle of the order that they need. It moves the needle in terms of like excitement, but not so much expectation.
I think I agree. Like there's a difference. Like there's being excited, but like you can be excited about something that is not necessarily, okay, this is going to lead to them making the playoffs this year. Like the White Sox have a bunch of top prospects and they will call up those top prospects this and next year. And that should drive excitement from White Sox fans. Does that mean they're going to make the playoffs? No, of course not. But like they should be excited to see a new crop of talent come up, as should any team with top prospects coming up. So yeah, the Red Sox fans, like, It should be separate. Like you should allow yourself to be excited for these kids, even if they're getting their opportunity because the team didn't do the things that you thought that they needed to do. Like it can be two separate emotions. We should get to some Nuff Said before we get out of here. Does either of you guys have the Luka trade as your Nuff Said? No, it's not you, Sammy. No, Pat. All right. Well, then I'll just do it as mine. I was going to fall asleep last night. Like literally was about to put my phone down and then that notification came up on my phone and literally could not fall asleep for hours. Cause I've just never, it was the single biggest and most shocking, both the biggest and the most shocking separately trade that I've ever seen in my lifetime of watching sports. Like, nothing even remotely comes close. I asked on Twitter, like, what is the second place to this? And Lou Maloney quote tweeted it and said, like, oh, if you go back 21 years, like, the Red Sox A-Rod trade could have been that. And he's right. Like, that trade had A-Rod, it had Manny, it had Nomar, it had Lester, it had Maglio Ordóñez in it. Like, yeah, that trade would have been a close second. But, like, is there a baseball equivalent to this trade? I don't even think there is. Like, the level of star power in this trade, like, maybe in terms of talent you could think of it, but, like, in terms of name and star power, is there even a baseball equivalent?
I think it would be something along the lines of, like, Ronald Acuna for Zach Wheeler.
Oh, I don't think those two have anywhere close to the star power name. The name power,
really?
Of Luka Doncic. Dude, Luka Doncic and Anthony Davis. How many? Let's check their
Acuna,
Instagram followers.
Acuna, when healthy, is a top three player.
I got one that might be close. Randy Moss getting traded to the Patriots was huge.
But
he was coming off a bad year.
Yeah.
That was a buy low.
For reference, Ronald Acuna has 1.6 million followers on Instagram. Luka has 9.4 million.
So, okay, like, so then my default answer, I think this is bigger for the time. A-Rod from the Rangers to the Yankees for Alfonso Soriano.
It's as close as you can. Yeah, it's as close as it comes. And A-Rod in current
was like
baseball,
he was like the king of the sport at the time. Luka is like, he's a top 10 player in the sport, but he's not the guy. Nobody's like, he's the best player in the NBA. People would have said at that time, A-Rod's the best player in Major League Baseball, him and like Barry Bonds, but you know.
Yeah. No, that's fair. In terms of like star power compared to, like, I really only think there's two Major League Baseball players right now whose name value can even be said in the same sentence as Luka, and it's Shohei and it's Judge. I don't know if anyone else like talent-wise, I would say Bobby Witt is Major League Baseball's talent version of Luka. And for Anthony Davis, it would be like Bobby Witt for Bryce Harper would be maybe my best
star power wise. I was just going to say star power wise, I might put Bryce Harper third, but I think just, who'd you say? Ohtani and who?
Ohtani and Judge, I thought, were the only two that have the name. Like, I don't know, maybe like Trout and Harper could be up, but I don't know, man.
It might be just Ohtani, man. I don't know if Judge has the star power of Luka.
It might be.
Well, let's see Instagram followers. This is
Luka's,
a good.
Luka's at 9.5. Tell me what Judge is at. That's Judge.
Hold on, Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge is at 1.9.
Yeah, and Luka, it's not even
so Luka's
close.
Got five times the follow. Shohei must have. I bet Shohei has more than Luka. Maybe not. I don't know.
Shohei has.
He's not that
about the same. About 9.
8.8. Okay, yeah. So it's close. So yeah, I mean, literally. Like that,
basketball,
I mean,
is huge. Yeah, it's basketball. All of Asia watches basketball. That is so many people. Like, it's great. Yeah. And like probably less than half of Asia is into baseball, which is still a ton of people that you see Shohei. But basketball is so far above baseball in terms of popularity. It's not even close.
Yeah, and like these individuals have such insane star power just because like Luka's gonna dominate the ball in every possession that he's in the game for. Shohei Ohtani hits one. Shohei's a bad example. Aaron Judge hits one out of every 9 times for one of the two teams. So it's like, and for the rest of the game, he's in the outfield, not on camera. So like, it's understandable. And basketball is an incredibly marketable sport for that reason. The individuals get marketed, and they get incredibly popular. But
can I give you my prediction?
Crazy trade. Yeah,
I get my Lakers prediction. I think the Lakers are going to be on fire with Luka and LeBron. And then they're going to get to the playoffs and they're going to win a round. And then they're going to play a good team in the playoffs. And they're going to get destroyed because they're not going to have the defense.
What if they trade LeBron? 40-year-old
LeBron. Good luck.
Dude, they had the third worst defense in the NBA. And then they just traded like one. They had that. And they just traded Anthony Davis, one of the best defenders in the league, for Luka, who literally got traded because the Mavericks front office thinks he's out of shape and can't defend.
So the Lakers are going to make another trade then.
They might trade LeBron. Like that might be like that might happen. That could happen. Man. He could go to the Warriors.
Basketball's so wild with trades and shit, man. Celtics broke the Mavs. They ended them. They ended their window.
Yeah.
Look at that.
I mean, it's ridiculous that they thought they had to do this though. All of me was disappointed that it wasn't Kyrie Irving forcing this, because it would have just added so much fuel to my agenda of like, this guy's the worst human ever. But like,
yeah, I hate Kyrie.
All right, we need to get to your guys' enough said before we hit the time. So someone, Sammy, you want to give me your enough said?
Yeah, I had a really, really scary dream. I just want to talk about my scary dream. I'm not even kidding. It was probably the scariest dream I've ever had. I think I did a tweet about it. So this is the dream. I was in a dark room. Like I was just sentient in this dark, dimly lit room. And then across the room, probably the size of like a living room, there was this woman, and she had all black robes on and like pale white skin. And her eyes didn't have any pupils. And then she had like blood coming out of her mouth. And there was a voice, and it was like, "The nighttime lady." And then that was the whole dream. And I woke up. I was like, "What was that?" And now I think I'm haunted by a ghost, which is sick. I'm super excited about that.
You know, you got a fucked up head sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So now the nighttime lady is haunting me, and she's like, it was really creepy. The dream was really scary. I was like, oh my God, this is like a horror movie and it's my dream. And I'm kind of aware that it's a dream, but not totally. But, you know, like I said, I woke up and I was like, that's it. I'm haunted by a ghost. Finally.
Good job, man. Hell of a dream. My dreams are stupid. Like sometimes I'll have a dream that I'm like riding a giant frog through like a jungle. Like, I don't know. It's stupid nonsense. Pat, do you have enough said?
Yeah, it's not about dreams. While we were recording, the Raiders just hired Chip Kelly as their offensive coordinator. I will never doubt Tom Brady as long as I live, but I am a generational Chip Kelly hater.
Me too.
I think that it was an awful hire. Sure, like he knows Ohio State had a really good offense this year. He's the OC this past year. They have a lot of good guys coming out of the draft this year. I just hate that Tom hired Chip Kelly, because I hate Chip Kelly.
Yeah, Tom also hired like what, 100-year-old Pete Carroll for a team that's rebuild or that should be rebuilding. Like, yeah, it's just I don't know how he's doing with that. So, well, I'm kind of questioning on Tom Brady there. I want to give the final word here to Joe. Joe, do you want to? You want to give the final word before I you deserve this, by the way. Joe deserves the final word of this podcast before I wrap this thing up and tell everyone to subscribe. Joe, you got a final word?
Yeah, I do. Just thank you to all the haters out there who didn't really, I guess, putting it lightly, didn't enjoy my trade proposal. I'm glad to expose you guys to Play Tessie, which is such an awesome podcast. But if hating me is what brought you here, I say thank you.
I agree with that. If your hatred of Joe's trade, or even the hatred of Joe, brought you here, then Joe is doing his job. And that's not to say that like the trade was bait, because it very clearly wasn't. Like, you listen to this podcast, you listen to the last podcast, like it wasn't bait. Like it was legit.
And we don't do bait. We don't do bait.
We're not a bait podcast.
We legitimately have never done that and will never do that. So if you want bait, go to your local fishing store, you asshole.
All right. Joe, shout out the haters. He left us.
He's gone.
He's gone.
He doesn't have time for the haters.
Joe, I want Joe to have the final word, and then you and I talked. Joe, can just shout
out. I literally
out.
Just said thank you to the haters.
Thank you. All right. Appreciate y'all tuning in to episode 175 of Play Tessie. This has been a fun one. We were excited to get back on the saddle here and record this podcast, give Joe a chance to speak his piece, defend the land, and we had a good time hashing it all out, giving our perspectives on the whole thing. Good conversation today. This has been a really good podcast. But remember, subscribe to hear the next one. You get those notifications when our shows come out. If you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, rate 5 stars. Find us on YouTube on the WEI channel. You can find our Play Tessie playlist there. So subscribe to WEI. Check out the playlist to find all of our episodes. You can hit the thumbs up on all of those videos. And as always, find us on the socials at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. For Sammy and for Pat and for Joe, it's Gordo here for Play Tessie, episode 175. Thanks for tuning in this one, everyone. Peace.